Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.
Welcome to the Learn Minecraft podcast and the first episode of season 3. So today I'm joined by the lovely Piper Santos. Piper is an artist, an illustrator and an animator, best known for her characterful portraits and her cute, colourful aesthetic. Alongside running a successful art business, Piper is also a popular content creator with over 1 million YouTube subscribers who regularly watch her create and share her artistic process. So, Piper, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good as well, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be chatting with you.
Thank you so much for coming. I've really been looking forward to speaking to you because I personally love your style. I love it especially like the stars and the purples, and I feel like those really like resonate with me as a person, let alone like artistically. It's very beautiful too, so yeah, I just wanted to put that in there.
Thank you so much, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, what do you think first shaped your illustration style, and who are your influences?
I think when I started, you know, posting my art more on social media and started, you know, learning about social media artists and stuff and getting a lot of inspiration from artists who are already posting on Instagram and stuff. I think a lot of the artists that initially started, you know, adding to my own style now are artists like Saruka Tepes and like artists who, you know, have been doing this for so long on social media and who are also very portrait based. And I think those were the artists that I gravitated towards a lot. So I'd say that artists like her had a lot of, you know, influence in how I draw now and how I started adding more practice into portraiture and adding more fantasy like elements into my artwork and things like that. So definitely her. And I've always been a big fan of like Rococo style paintings from that time. I just the whole like cute, like fantastical, and you know, everythingness of that style is something I really like, and like the pops of glimmer and gold and things like that are just always so fun, so I'm definitely a big fan of that.
Me too, I love that kind of stuff as well. So was there like a turning point where your style started to like click and you're just like, oh, that's it?
I think for me, I think style is so ever evolving that every few years, I think there's always a slight gradual shift anyways into, you know, our preferences change and our likes change and things like that as we grow. So that I think always influences our style anyways. But I think I'm going to say maybe like 5 years ago is probably when I think I really solidified myself in a style that I felt was really mine. And I think a lot of it was people who would find my artwork randomly online and would comment being like, oh my God, I knew this was you before I even checked who the poster was. And I was like, oh wow, okay, so I'm clearly doing something right, like people are seeing like a cohesive look to my art without me really even doing it on purpose. So I was like, okay, clearly there's something here that's developing that's a very me style. And that's when I started feeling really relaxed and like, okay, I don't need to be like worried about that as much anymore. But yeah, I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, that's sort of when it happened. And yeah, it was sort of when I started implementing more like pastel color palettes, implementing a lot of like those, you know, like a mixture of like a sketchy but like rendered style in my portraits and things like that, a lot of fantasy themes and just this sort of like peaceful like style, I guess. And I think that's when I started being like, yeah, this is me.
Yeah, I know what you mean by like you sort of start to know when other people comment
Yeah,
because
because you're so
I.
like focused on it that you sort of start like not even being aware of like the progress you're making in something. So you kind of start hearing it from other people being like, oh, there's like something there that's very you. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that I was getting somewhere with all this. So definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you're so in it, it's so hard to know whether, you are doing a style or you are just copying or you don't necessarily know what's going on because you're so
Exactly.
deep into creation. I actually had that, I think it was 7 years ago now. I think someone messaged me saying it was like a sort of bad circumstance of, oh, this person stolen your artwork. I knew it was yours the moment I saw it. So I was like, oh,
I
well, great
see.
for
Yeah,
seeing
good
my
and bad news.
artwork. Yeah, exactly. Good
I
news
get
that
you.
you can see that it's me. Bad news, oh, they've stolen it. Okay.
Yeah, I've
But
definitely had some
yeah.
instances like that of like art accounts posting like other people's art and stuff and not giving proper credit and people being like, actually, I'm pretty sure this is Piper's work. And I'd be like, it is, guys, thank you. So I definitely get that as well. It's good to know that people have like an instant recognition of your style and the way that you work at like first glance. I think it's just really special.
Yeah, it's really nice that because you guess they're paying attention enough, aren't they, to know that it's
Exactly.
you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
So, do you have any little rules or habits in your drawings that keep your style consistent?
I think one thing that people would say is definitely consistent in my style is like adding some sort of like sparkles. Like in my, I just, it's kind of like become a bit of a running gag at the moment, especially when I post like content online. I'm like, and obviously we have to finish off with some sparkles because obviously I like no drawing to me or sketch is finished without me adding like little like details of sparkles and stars and things like that just to like make the drawing even cuter. I think that's definitely something that's part of my routine. But I'd say adding like the really high pops of highlight to me are like in the sort of like ritual of doing a drawing, they're like the best part for me. They're like the part that means that I'm getting to the end and I'm feeling really satisfied with the drawing. So adding like the like almost like a pure white highlight onto a painting is like, okay, now we're getting to like that final stretch. And that's definitely like one of my favorite bits.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the stars is like your almost like your signature. So people can
Yeah.
recognize your artwork, even if it's just a sketch. If you've got your little stars and
Exactly.
sparkle,
Yeah, and I
yeah,
feel
they
like
know
that
it's
adds like
yours.
some such consistency throughout like all even sketches, finished drawings, paintings, anything. I feel like it doesn't feel like me if I don't add a little bit of that into it. So yeah.
I personally love that too. That's what I love about your artwork as well, is those sparkles, because the
Yeah.
very new unique way of drawing little stars as well. It's very
Yeah.
nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like I even made like for digital drawing, I made it like into a stamp using one of my like sparkle drawings. So I was like, I've made it even easier now for myself to add like sparkles. I made a whole brush out of it. I'm like
That sounds fantastic.
Exactly.
So, do you think that your style was something that you chose, or is it something that just happened over time?
I'm a big believer that your style is something that naturally happens to you. Like, you can try to like escape it as much as you want, but you'll never like really outrun it because it's very unique to everyone. And I think, like I said earlier, styles I feel like evolve a lot with the artists because of like our different preferences and our different likes and dislikes. They change all the time. So I think it's something that naturally develops because you with the amount of like inspiration that you consume. So the more like of different artists you start finding and looking and finding inspiration from, you'll slowly take like small elements from all these different things that you're consuming and implement those things into your own personal style, which is just an amalgamation of different bits from other people's styles, really. So I think that it's a natural gradual thing. You can try to force a style as much as you can by, like, copying someone else's style for practice, or doing, a specific style that you think might be more palatable for, like, online audiences. But if it's not like your style, it's not going to feel natural. It's not going to feel like as enjoyable as just drawing what you want to draw, really. And that I feel like is your style, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm sort of having that at the moment. I'm trying to sort of find my new style, I suppose, as an artist, and is I'm starting at that point where you are copying others to figure it out yourself, and see what you like and what you dislike and what feels good, I guess, when you're doing it.
And a lot of artists, like, probably don't understand, like, who are, starting out, probably don't understand that that is very much part of the process, is taking and, like, seeing things and trying to replicate them to see which bits you really enjoyed from this person's creation process, and seeing which bits you'd like to take onto your practice to for the next drawing. And then you just kind of keep, like, picking up things the more you draw. And it's like, 300 drawings later, you will kind of have this style start to emerge, really.
Yeah. No, definitely, yeah. So when I sort of like watch you draw on YouTube and stuff, you just look so like confident and like you do the lines so cleanly and stuff. So is that like, have you always drawn like that, or is that something that, has taken a while to get there?
I definitely, like, with YouTube and social media, I feel like I also fall victim to only wanting to show the nicer drawings. And even when I'm sketching in my sketchbook on YouTube for a video, I'm doing, like, okay, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna make some nice drawings. Like, I'm not sitting down trying to do messy, like, sketches and, like, messy thumbnailing, which I do as well. And I do show them usually when I do sketchbook tours, for example. People will get to see those. But I feel like when I'm drawing or showing a process on social media, it's usually when I've sat down and I know that I'm going to be doing a nice, pretty, clean drawing, even if it's a sketch. So, it's not, they don't all look like that. I do have messy, like, scribbly drawings when I'm trying to get, like, a composition down or an idea that I've had in my head and I need to figure it out visually. Those drawings look like a mess. And usually that's, like, the roughest sketch that then I turn into a cleaner sketch that then turns into, like, line art. So there's different stages of what a drawing looks like for me. And I feel like on YouTube and stuff, you get to see, like, from the middle clean upwards, if that makes
Right,
sense.
yes. Yeah, no, it makes total sense. So speaking of, can we look through some of your sketchbooks?
Absolutely, yes. I can even show you, like, some of those, like,
Yes.
not so clean, like, sketchbook pages. Like, for example, this is an example of a spread that is basically just laying out composition, figuring out thumbnails for an illustration idea that I have, that, I'm just trying to get, like, the anatomy down and, like, the general idea of it down, and it's not the cleanest, but then I can take these drawings into, like, a cleaner version of themselves. And for example, these are some portrait drawings that are a little bit cleaner. So these are usually, like, portrait practice that I'll do where I'm trying to, like, actually trying to get some rendering out. So these are drawings where I've rendered them and added shading and stuff. So I want them to look cleaner. They're also timed drawing. I do a lot of timed exercises, like, especially to loosen my wrist up. So these are some examples of that in my sketchbook. Just different timed portraits that, some of them are cleaner than others.
So how long is your timing then? How long do you time yourself for?
So I think these two top ones are 2 minutes. This one's 3 and this one's 5. So that's sort of, like, the time that I gave myself for these. But sometimes I'll do even quicker ones. I'll do, like, 1 minute, like, really quick sketches just to get, like, the shape language down, and again, just be really loose. I'm trying to see what else I've got here. That could be
Wow,
fun.
so even your quick ones look so good.
Oh, thank you. Again, that comes from drawing portraits. I've drawn millions and millions of portraits, so getting portrait shape language down is very natural to me, which makes it fast. So I know easily where the shapes go. If it was like drawing animals in a minute, that would be a different story. It would look a little more janky. This is another example of some timed portraits, but these are way longer. So these are 12 and 15 minutes, 50-minute ones. So we've got some ones in graphite and one in coloring pencil. And again, these are usually from either life drawing classes or reference images online. In my sketchbook, I usually, if I'm drawing portraits and stuff like that, I'm trying to look at reference and then take those references into like illustration compositions, like this, for example. This is another page of just some random sketches and like some compositional ideas for some illustrations.
Do
And
you
then I'll
often draw from life then?
Sorry?
Do you often draw from life?
A lot of the times, yes, because especially when I'm feeling not very inspired, I'll usually draw from life or from reference, just to get like something visually going in my brain. And then usually from there, I'll start like, oh, I like the position, like the pose from this person. I think that would look really cool in this illustration compositional idea that I have in the back of my head, and sort of work those poses and sometimes like even faces into other illustrations. And that's sort of how that I kind of create illustrations in my head. And usually I'll even like make little notes in my sketchbook of like, if I've drawn like a pose or a portrait that I like, I'll like make a note of like this pose, but drawn like on a thing with a fairy and a sword or whatever. So they're just like notes for future me. But yeah, I do really enjoy drawing from life. That's how I really started out learning to draw, was drawing from an object or a person sat in a room, and learning or teaching myself really how to just draw what I see instead of what I think the object looks like. Which I think is a very invaluable lesson in like drawing 3D shapes. And that's how I started out. So that's, I think, why it's so comforting to me, drawing from life and things like that. Yeah. I don't know if you want to see more or if you want
Yes,
to.
please. I would love to.
I've also, sometimes in my sketchbook, I'll do like more finished illustrations. Like this is a markers portrait illustration that I did actually for a YouTube video. So it's pencil and markers, and that was for a little process video. Got some more portrait studies here.
Oh, they're just
Just
so beautiful. I also love
thank
the way
you.
you draw in the sketchbook itself, like you overlap the center and stuff. Yeah, I love
Like,
that.
to me, it's just like, just use all of it. Even as sometimes when I finish a sketchbook, I'll usually go back in and fill out any like empty spots that I've left, because I'm like, I really want to use up all of it. And it makes it really fun just filling up little gaps. But yeah, all of these portraits were from a life drawing session that I did online. I always recommend this website. It's called Line of Action, and it's a free online life drawing like website that you can use, and it's amazing. So I do a lot of my life drawing from there. It's awesome. And oh yeah, I like this spread a lot because it's in color.
I do love your one color spreads. They're very
I do
beautiful.
too. Sometimes I'm feeling like I just want to do something all like monochrome but in a really fun color, and it makes the sketch page look so vibrant, This page as well is also using that
Oh,
same
so
pencil.
beautiful.
I like this rusty pencil that I have. I use it a lot in my sketchbook.
It reminds me of like old sketches, when you use that sort of like tan
Oh
tone.
yeah, like a sepia. Like, yeah, I actually
Yeah,
have
that's
a
what it reminds
sketchbook.
you of.
That was another sketchbook that I have here that is a gray toned like sketch pad. And I use a sketchbook exclusively for sepia toned coloring and rendering from life drawing classes. So I've got some
Oh, wow.
examples if you want to see. So
Yeah.
they're all using like sepia toned colors, and the best part of this that I can use like a white pencil to add like really big pops of highlight. It's like so satisfying to add in the white pencil to these. It's well.
It's so beautiful. I really, really love these. They're just so simple. It's like, it's like moments in this person's life, and I love that.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're all, all of these ones are done in like a class. So I do like a life drawing class that's also online, but sometimes in person, and it's even more fun because everyone else around you is trying to get down. We're all so focused trying to get all these shapes down, and everyone has their own different style. It's always so much fun. I always recommend life drawing to everyone because it's genuinely like such an amazing skill to have. And it's just the last one that I was gonna show, just to show like that pop of white on this like gray paper is so beautiful. I love
It
it.
makes a lot of difference, doesn't it?
It does, because when you're drawing on white paper, you've already got the whitest like possible highlight as the background, so you can't really play with highlights like you can on colored paper. So it's a different ball game to me. It's very fun.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, that's so beautiful. I really want to try some more tonal paper now. I sort of started dabbling in like tones of paper and realized that I don't like yellow paper.
Oh,
Have you
yeah.
tried yellow
I
paper?
haven't,
Like, does
no.
that work for you?
I prefer, that's why I got this gray one, because I used to have a brownish yellow sketch pad as well, but it felt too sepia for me. The gray one is amazing because you can set the tone of the drawing using whatever color palette you're picking, and the gray will obviously like acclimate to whatever color palette you're using. Whereas with like a yellower paper, you're forced to stick within that color. It's yeah, I get you.
I feel like it messes with like my internal calibration of what colors I'm
Yeah,
picking, and I just have no
absolutely.
idea what to put down anymore.
Yeah, because also if you are using like coloring pencils, sometimes it will change the color a little bit when you're putting them down. Absolutely. Absolutely. I recommend getting a gray sketch pad. It's gonna like change your life. It's really fun.
Definitely. No, I'm definitely going to look into it now. That looks really
It's
good.
a good time.
So, which came first for you then, digital or traditional art?
Traditional. I started doing traditional art very young, obviously, like we were all doing drawings at home with pencils. But then when I started having art lessons when I was 11, I was being taught by a local artist in Portugal where I grew up, and he was very traditional. He was mainly a sculptor, but he taught, painting, sculpture, drawing, and all of these in all these really traditional forms. It was very fun. So like I said, he taught me a lot from drawing from reference and drawing from life, and he really taught me so much about shading and lighting and how to incorporate that into like drawing with a pencil. For the first few years, I was only doing pencil on paper, graphite and an eraser, and just kind of getting the basics down of like three dimensionality because I was so new to that. And then I dabbled a bit in sculpture, which was also really good for my brain to learn about 3D shapes in portraits and head and anatomy. And then I went on to painting, and he taught me about like different mediums of paint. And yeah, so I learned about all of these different areas of traditional art before I ever even knew that digital art was a thing. And then when I went to university when I was 18, that's when I started sort of dabbling in digital art, because obviously at my university they had like Cintiqs and like digital art programs that I had never touched before, and I was like, oh my god, this is all so fun. And then a few years later I got my first iPad, I saved up, and then I started dabbling in digital art, and I was like, oh my god, this is so fun and quick to add color to things. So that's when I sort of started my digital art journey as well. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fantastic, and what an amazing opportunity to be learning from someone who's so
I
knowledgeable
know.
at a young age as well. Like, that's so
I
cool.
know. I owe him so much. He taught me, quite honestly, everything that I know in terms of like basics and like there's just actually understanding like portraiture, lighting, shading. Like he taught me how to hold my pencil right for different kinds of effects and different shading techniques. He like knew so much, and I was honest, I was always the youngest one there because my parents put me in classes quite young because they saw that I really enjoyed art and stuff. And it was mostly just like a little workshop that he had, and it was mostly like older people who went there, like who were retired, who were just, you know, wanting to dabble in art. And I was literally always the baby of the workshop. And so everyone was always trying to give me tips and, you know, coming over to help me out. So I learned a lot from a lot of different people, not even just from him, just from all these like other people who have been doing art for like decades and decades. And yeah, it was honestly like my favorite time of the week when I was growing up was going to art class. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fantastic. I had that too. I used to go to Art Saturday classes every
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah,
Yeah,
mine was Friday
my favorite time.
evenings.
Oh,
So I
nice.
was like, school's done. I get to go to art class for 2 hours. I can't wait. It was so fun.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah.
So, what can digital artists learn by trying traditional mediums then?
I think knowing how to draw traditionally is very important, and a lot of it translate into digital art, whether or not you like realize it. So drawing traditionally, you have to understand like how to create different opacities with pen pressure or pencil pressure, and you know, understanding like different grit and different materials and how all of those different things blend together into a final illustration. So taking those skills into the digital art space will not only like broaden things for you because you have all these other skills from traditional art that you can also try to replicate digitally and implement that with the digital rendering that you can achieve with digital. But yeah, you can create all this like mishmash of traditional and digital. And I think it's just so much more fun knowing about both of these like mediums. I always try to do like a little bit of a mixture of both because I just think it makes it so much more visually interesting. And I think that my digital art would not be what it is if I didn't have the my traditional background, if I'm completely honest. And also just drawing, putting pencil to paper is such a different feeling than drawing digitally, that sometimes you know how they say like sometimes you need to like log off and go outside. To me, that's like if I've been doing too much digital art, just sitting down at my sketchbook and drawing traditionally, that's like the equivalent for me. It's like just feeling that texture and the pencil on the paper is so different, and it's really, really important, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there is definitely a connection there that you get more from when you do
Absolutely.
traditional than digital. But I
Yeah.
personally haven't tried digital art yet, and
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
desperate to.
I think
So.
it's so fun, especially if you're going into it newly, like yourself. It's so fun because you're being basically like your world's being open to a whole new medium, and you get to like just play around with different programs because obviously different softwares will have different like things that you can play around with. So I can't wait for you to try it. It's really fun.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I just want to say that I love your book. I can tell you really know
Thank
your
you.
stuff because I just love the way this is laid out and it's explained like so clearly.
Oh, thank you.
It really does remind me of one of those like old how to draw books when they literally go through everything. Because, like,
That's what I was
going
going
through.
for.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's why I really, really like it because I
Oh,
love
thank
those old ones.
you.
I grew up reading those
Yeah,
books.
me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I just love that your book is that, but it's like a modern, fun style because you've got your little stars in there and
Exactly. It's very
your
me
colors.
in one of those books as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I find this book so inspiring and so lovely, and I
Thank
feel like
you.
I'd be able to draw my own like little illustration style just by doing it.
That's the goal. To be able to draw like faces, people you love, characters in your head, just, you know, being able to bring new faces and characters to life. Yeah, exactly. And I always tell people when they come up to me and ask me about my book, I always say it's like, it is very beginner friendly. I tried really hard to make it incredibly beginner friendly by making it very shape based. Everything's broken down into easy shapes, and it's like adding building blocks. And so you can, by the time that you notice, you've drawn a face and you don't even realize that you've done it because it's all been so slowly built up into it. And that's how I wanted it to be, so it's not daunting or scary to think about drawing portraits, which I think a lot of people have that fear, I guess, of getting into drawing faces. And hopefully this book helps people get into it without feeling like scared of it. Yeah.
No, I definitely think it will, because you just start off so basically.
Yeah.
Literally from this is shadows, this is color, like, you know, I even like your little color theory section as well. It's just,
yes, yeah, I broken I'm trying down to go into so color nicely. Theory and shading faces, and you know where highlights would go and where shadows would go and how lighting sources work, and again, just kind of bringing in the things that I learned when I was learning to draw with that artist. I'm bringing all those lessons in and kind of thinking like, where did I start and how was like the process of me learning? And I definitely took sort of his like route in this book as well. Like, the first we'll learn this and then we'll learn about this. And so it's like a natural growth and a natural learning path. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's fantastic. I just love the way it's broken down.
Thank you. I'm really happy to hear that.
Oh, good. So when you are like not working from a reference, where do your ideas come from?
Ooh, I think I get this question a lot. I think it comes from so many different things. I, you know, have a lot of like hobbies, and I read a lot. I watch a lot of like films, a lot of like TV shows and things, because I just really like to watch other worlds and like see other worlds come to life, and movies and stuff. So I think I get a lot of ideas from random snippets from things like that, like from being inside other worlds, like inside a book or inside a film or a TV show. And it'll usually, again, be sort of like a mishmash of things, like maybe a really beautiful hairstyle that I saw on a character in this like fantastical world, but I really enjoyed like the cinematography of a specific shot of another film that I watched, and kind of all these things in my brain like just make a little ball of an idea. And then sometimes I'm trying to go to sleep and the idea pops into my head and I have to like write it down. So I don't think I do it consciously. I think it's a part of being like a creative visual person, is that those things are just naturally happening in the back of your head, and then it'll come up with an idea. And that's when I do those messy sketches. It's when I'm trying to get that idea onto paper and actually see if it works visually. Sometimes it might not. It might look cooler in my head than in real life. Yeah.
So what do you do in that situation? Do you try and like sketch it in a different way or render it in a different way to try and figure it out if it will work or not?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of different starting points that you can take an approach into an illustration. You can start off with a color palette, for example, if that was your initial inspiration point. And if that doesn't work, maybe try changing one of the colors and seeing if that like has a different kind of harmony to it. But specifically with a sketch, if I find that I've drawn down a composition and it doesn't really look good, I don't really like it, I'll definitely like thumbnail it differently. So I'll really like, with thumbnailing, I try to like really simplify the drawing idea and then try to like draw it in different ways and different compositions until I find one that looks really good from a like tiny version of it. And then I'll take that thumbnail and like draw it out bigger again and see if I like it. sometimes it takes a few passes until I'm like, okay, this could work. And then I'll try rendering it. But, you know, there's been instances when I got to the rendering stage and I was like, I still really don't like it. So I'll go back again to the thumbnailing stage. And, you know, at that point, it's really like, how much patience do you have and how much do you actually want to draw this illustration? Can you be asked, or do you just want to go to the next thing? But, you know, it's all part of the process, so you can't get mad at it. But yeah, it there's so many different ways you can explore the same idea to get to a different outcome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you normally, like, when you have these ideas, are they normally like a finished thing in your head and you're just trying to translate it, or?
Sort of, yeah. There'll be like a finished illustration idea in my head, but sometimes there'll be some different versions of it that I'm like, oh, I could experiment with those different versions. But, you know, like the apple theory of how, like, realistically you see things in your head. I'm like the extreme of, like, I see things incredibly finished, rendered with lighting, with color. Like, so sometimes it can be a bit frustrating because I'll see something in my head and it'll be very hard to actually replicate that when it gets to actually drawing it. And I'll feel like a little bit deflated that it doesn't look exactly like it did that first time it popped into my head. But, you know, sometimes I have to remind myself, like, maybe this is like how it should look because I've actually gone into the process and done my own process. And I, you know, this is, maybe I was being a bit too elaborate in my head when I first thought of it, but definitely I get very rendered finished versions in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I keep having like visions of like paintings or drawings that I want to do. And I go to, like, even just trying to sketch it, I just like, oh, it's just not quite right.
Still, yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's sort of why I'm going back to basics a little bit, because, you know, I've been drawing for 9 years now, but I feel like I need to go back to basics in order to re-find this style that I'm sort of looking for.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because I'm trying to do that as well by trying to bring thumbnailing back more into my process, because I feel like I did thumbnailing a lot more like a few years back, and then I got, I think, a bit too comfortable with going with my first idea or my first thought, because, you know, I felt like I just had to, like, sort of churn out the art so I could post it immediately or whatever. And I feel like I let go of my thumbnailing part of the process, which is, I think, so important, because you need to explore these different versions of the same idea to actually figure out which one really resonates with you. And I am trying to bring that back as well into my process of illustration. So I get you.
Yeah.
You have to sometimes take it back a few notches to, like, rediscover that process. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm so used to finishing work because I'm a commission artist. So, like, literally everything I do is a finished, beautiful piece of work ready for the customer. I don't even own a sketchbook. Like, that's literally the stage I'm at. I just don't sketch. I continuously produce finished work. So
I'm
trying to take myself back to the looseness. So I like your timed ideas of, like, what can you produce in 1 minute?
It's introducing play, you know, like, I feel like as full-time artists or artists who have clients and are producing work for a client, it's very easy to sort of start doing less and less of the actual play part of art and creating, because you're so focused on, well, I need to pay my rent, so I'm going to focus on doing, you know, the client work, and you slowly start doing the actual fun bits of art. So I completely get what you mean, because I've been sketching a lot less in the last few years than previously when I was doing less of this illustration work. I was doing more animation freelance work. So I, you know, my illustration was more fun for me. And then when I became more full-time, I started sketching so much less. So that's why I'm trying to as well bring back more really quick, loose exercises, like the timed ones, because that takes 5-10 minutes out of your day, but you're still introducing drawing for yourself and not for a client. And I think that's slowly becomes more and more, like, important into your routine. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny how when you become a full-time artist, you do less art.
I know, and it's such a like confusing thing, and it's so universal, I feel like, to a lot of artists that I know who are also in the business. They're like, yeah, you finally achieve your dream of being a full-time artist, and then you're like, I never have time to draw. And it's like, how did we get here?
Yeah, like how does that even work? Because surely
I know.
you should have more time, but no, you
I know, right?
don't.
It's crazy.
So, do you think copying other artists that you love is part of your process? And how do you turn that into something that is originally yours?
I feel like not anymore, not as much anymore. I feel like back when I was trying to like get into my own style and figure out what I wanted my style to look like, what I wanted my body of art to have like a cohesive look. That was usually when I think I would take a lot more direct inspiration from other artists. Now I feel like I'm so much more comfortable in my own style and comfortable in my process of illustration that I don't really do that anymore. I think the most is like maybe I'll see an artist illustration post something. I'm like, oh my God, I love this so much. And I'll try and like replicate the vibe, but not the actual illustration. I'm like, oh, I love this, the serenity, or like it's so calm and soothing, and I love these colors, and I'll try and do something sort of that makes me feel similar with my own art. But I think that where I am right now in my style, I don't really find like the necessity in copying other people to get like a sense of style anymore, which is it's just another part of the growth, I guess. I think a lot of people see people in like a much more advanced stage in their art journey and think, oh my God, but I'm still so stuck in this part where I need to like copy other people, and I just don't feel like there. It's like, it's fine, like we've all been there. It's okay, I was there too. It's just that I'm a bit further along, and that's fine. So yeah, I think that not anymore, but I definitely have.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's you do get a lot of people, especially when you are bigger on social media, you do probably get a lot of messages from people saying, "Oh, I wish I could draw like you. I wish this. You're so amazing. I could never be like that." And it is just a journey thing, isn't it? Like everybody's at different stages. Some people haven't started, some people are just early, and like you're in like the middle of yours, and
Exactly.
so
I always say to people, like, don't compare your day one to someone's day 500, 'cause it's not fair on you. Someone who's been doing it for so much longer than you can't expect to be on the same step of the ladder as them. That's just not how it works. So you have to really be patient, I guess, and trust that you will get there too. And the process is, as long as you keep practicing, the process will be the same for you as well. But it's very important to like trust where you are right now in your process and just keep trucking with it. But because it does get frustrating for like everyone at different stages of the process. So, just kind of got to roll with the punches. I
Definitely. I love that you love that quote because I love that quote too. But I
love
always say,
that quote.
like, don't compare your day one to someone else's day 100. So,
Exactly. I love that
but
quote.
yeah.
It's like similar to the we all have to start on the first step of the ladder to climb a ladder or something. It's like, I also like that one because it's like everyone has to start off at step zero. So, it's sort of the same thing. But
No, but it makes total sense though, doesn't it? And I sort of have to remind myself of that sometimes as well, because I find that I compare as well. I'm not only being compared to, but I compare myself to other artists. I'm like, oh, I
All
just
the
love
time.
how they're
All the
yeah, it's
time.
just
Yeah, that never really goes away, no matter how much of an experienced artist or how quote unquote big you are on social media. Like that never really goes away. Our habits of comparing ourselves to others are literally like so hard to get rid of. So I compare myself to everyone else I see online every day as well, but I just have to keep reminding myself, like, I am doing the best that I can right now, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. So I just gotta have to, I have to trust my own words. I have to listen to my own advice sometimes.
Yes, it's so much easier to give advice.
I know.
So your content is always so good at storytelling. So how important is storytelling in your art?
Oh, I think it's so, such a huge part of illustrations that I try to do is I'm trying to, because of course I love to make drawings of like fantasy worlds and trying to, and I use a lot of characters and, you know, people in and subjects in my art. So I'm always trying to tell some sort of story, whether it's the character's story in that moment, like how they're feeling or what they are, what, you know, what they're doing, or it's the world that they're in and what's the story of that world? Why is it the way that it is? And how does that world snippet that I've drawn make the person feel? So I think even when I'm not really trying, that's like something that's so in the back of my head, like I'm trying to create something new. So I'm trying to tell some sort of story about this new thing, obviously, to like communicate something to whoever's going to be looking at it. And yeah, whether it's like a full-fledged story of like a new world or literally just like a story of a moment, that's also to me a story, you know, whether it's like someone's like feeling and it's showing on their face and their expression. To me, that's just as much worth a story of tell. That's just as worthy of a story to tell than, you know, like a graphic novel. I think it's different types of stories. And I feel like, yeah, I always try to pass something like that on with my art.
Do you ever like try and write down your character stories, or do you mostly just imagine it as you draw?
I think I try to imagine it sometimes as I'm drawing, but I think if it's an idea that I've had in my head that has come out before I even had time to draw it out, I'll, like I showed you earlier in my sketchbook, I'll write like a little note to myself, like, oh, this is happening in this world and this character's doing this and she's looking this way and feeling this, and that'll be my like brief, I guess, for when I go in and do the sketch for the illustration. So sometimes, yeah, I'll have like notes on my phone where I'll have like ideas for illustrations, and if it's like, you know, I'm in bed already and I'm trying to fall asleep and my brain won't turn off, I'm like writing little ideas for illustrations and trying to describe the world to my future self. So definitely.
So you probably have too many ideas, but does storytelling ever help you come up with any new ones?
Yes, I a little bit. I feel like I've always wanted to tell really long stories. Like I've had lots of ideas for like comics and graphic novels and things that I've wanted to create and that I've, you know, started and then never finished, as is the usual. But I find that trying to write, like trying to tell a story with one illustration will usually kickstart this whole other like narrative within that world that will then inspire me for the next illustration. And it's kind of like this rolling, like, you know what I mean? Like the snowball effect of one story will remind me of this other story, or like I'll think of a different instance of what this character could be doing. And yeah, that I think that that's how important storytelling is, because it's something that can just keep going and you can just keep telling a story and reimagining it. And there's an infinite art that you can make out of that.
Yeah, definitely. You should definitely do a graphic novel.
I really want to. So I have so many ideas. That's the problem. I've had so many ideas and there's been so many that I've like, all right, I'm going to sit down and actually like start this project. And then like either life or previous projects get in the way. And I'm like, okay, I'll get to it next month. And then,
yeah.
And then it's kind of just sort of stagnant. But that's definitely something that I am wanting to put more of my time and effort into in the next coming years. Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. Say like 2026 is your graphic novel year.
Hope so, yeah. Especially now that I've dipped my toe into publishing. and like being a published author, I think it's a lot less scary now to like start like actually focus myself on this one of these projects. So we'll see.
Yeah, because writing an entire book, like this is a big book as well. Like, how
Yeah.
long did that take you to do?
I think from the time that the publisher got in touch with me with the interest in creating this book and its release date, I think it's about a year and a half, 2 years, something around that. I think the actual creating the book took me about a year, from, conceptualizing it, writing the sort of gist of the chapters, and then doing all of the artwork for it and all of the writing for it. And then thankfully I didn't have to like do any of the like designy work of like actually getting the book together. My editor obviously like did an amazing job with that. But yeah, it took me about a year and it was like nonstop every day. I think in the end there were 500 like artwork files that I submitted for the book. So that was a lot of artwork files and a very, very big folder that
Yeah,
I had to
I
submit.
guess, yeah, if you do count every step that you've drawn as an
Yeah.
individual file, yeah, I can see why it comes out to
Yes.
500. Yeah.
A lot,
Oh
yeah,
my
and a
goodness.
lot of the stuff wasn't even used. Like, we had to tailor down some of the art and some of the writing and stuff to, make it cohesive. So a lot of stuff was like extra that had to be cut out because it wasn't as necessary. So there was definitely more than actually went into the book, which that's probably why it was so much.
That's incredible. Wow, what an achievement.
Honestly, I still kind of like pinch myself about it. I was actually yesterday, I saw the book for the first time in my favorite bookshop, like locally,
Yeah, I
and
saw
it
your
was such,
reel.
I honestly, I was, it was such a like pinch me moment. I was like, because when the book first came out, I did try and go into like some bookshops to see it, but thankfully it was sold out every time. So they were like, oh, you'll have to like, or we'll order some more in and we'll like get them in. But like all the copies that we've ordered this month are gone. And so I just never got to see it. And the book's been out for like almost 2 years now. And yesterday was the first time I actually saw it in person at my favorite bookstore. And I was like, it was such a surreal moment that I'm like so, still so proud of this like project, even though it's been released for 2 years and I've been working on it for four or 5 years or something, and now it's like, and still I get like really giddy when I see it, because I remember just how much work I put into it, and just seeing it be real, I'm like, I'm proud of myself. I did that. That was really exciting.
Yeah, definitely. It's what happens with one of those big projects, isn't it? When you work so long and so hard on something and finally having it there
In
physically
your
in front of
hands.
you.
I know. It's a
Yeah.
very surreal feeling. And it's like it's like that thing, like I have copies of it at home. I like, I sign copies and take them with me to events, but then seeing it in a shop, I'm like, oh, this is like anyone could just walk by here and see it and not even know who I am and like really and hopefully really enjoy this book. And that was like a really surreal moment for me. 2 years
Really
on,
cool.
still really cool.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Fantastic. Well,
Thank
I think
you.
that's all we have time for, but thank you so much for joining me. It's been
No, thank you.
incredible. I just love talking to you about your process.
Thank you. You made some really, really good questions. I really just super enjoyed this chat. It's not often that I get to just sit and just yap about art. You know what I mean? So it was just really, really good time. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome to yap and chat to me anytime.
You too. Thank you.
So, to find out more about Piper's work, just visit piper'sart.com or check out her YouTube channel. I'll put the links below. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you're looking to learn more or take your art further, then head over to learnmycraft.com and you'll find tutorials, tools, and a lovely community of artists waiting for you there. So Piper, thank you so much again, and I look forward to having another chat with you later.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to listen to this episode and all the other episodes that you do from here on out. So thank you for having me. I'm very happy.
Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.